Got some lemon juice in my eye on that one. Amen. And that's why I like them to sing that song. It's a great song. It's a great song. That's when we need faith. Amen. Don't you just love babies? Yeah. Telling you. I just this morning dedicating little Travis Jr. And you know, obviously we have Esther and we have little Brady in our church. Who did I see? I saw Taylor before. Taylor just, she's always got one of them in her arms. I said, what are you, the new nursery coordinator or something? Amen. And that's a blessing. By the way, it is a blessing that little girls in our church, young ladies, would be able to care for babies. One day, listen, let's get the process right. One day, have a husband. Let's get the process right. Amen. Listen, I know things happen, and God is gracious. Amen. But the process is still married, fall in love, husband, children. But I thank God for babies. God's blessed our families and our church family in the last several years, and especially obviously the recent months with babies. They're so precious. I've been there for the three births of my children, and just how you see them. I was thinking today, Brother Leonard was mentioning about one of the surgeries tomorrow for Kyle McNew, this young man, Lori Leonard's brother. It's having a part of his brain operated on yesterday. And it said, you know, when my children were born, the thought that came screaming to my mind, besides ew, amen, was, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the evolution crowd, we should be evolving past 9 months by now. But amazing, it's still 9 months. It's still where God had it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I think about when our children were just little tiny babies. Remember the little tiny outfits that everybody got you. You know what I remember about the little ones is the pathetic cry. I mean, the little tiny cry. The I'm hungry cry. Or the 2 a.m. feedings that my wife did. I remember that. And she'd get up, say, I'm going to go, okay. Amen. I remember baby talk and first words and hallelujah, mounds of diapers. Can I get a witness? Amen. I remember the smell of spit up on every piece of clothing. Everything just smelled like that sour milk smell. And you know, one of the things I remember most is first steps. When they take their first steps. And so I've asked, just by way of illustration for this, I've asked Miss Katie to bring up little Landon up here. Because Landon is just starting to take his first steps. And you know what? Lolo's coming too. And that's good because Lolo can help me illustrate something too. So they're coming up here and maybe put them on one side, Miss Katie, and then walk away from. Don't put them anywhere near me because he'll get scared. And that happens to adults. Amen. And walk to mama, baby. Go see mama. Go see mama. How about that? If I come around this way and if I come behind him, you know, he's going to bumble over there. Go get mama. Go get her. I'm going to get you. You going to get your mama? Go get her. Here he goes. Oh. That's okay. That's all right. There he goes. Look at him. Got the Frankenstein. Amen. Now, Lolo, you come over here, sweetheart. You come over here. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk to mama, okay? You walk to mama. There we go. Perfect. Perfect. Amen. Standing right there. Yay! Good job, buddy. So you gave him that sour sucker, huh? So I love it when he eats this and he goes like this. Amen. Look at you. No, he's eating that sour. That's all right. It is perfect. Now, Miss Katie, what's the age difference between Landon and Lolo? Okay, so Lolo's 4. Before in January, and little Landon here just turned 1. Okay? Now, did you notice how well that Lolo walked? Did you notice how well she walked? Now, she's trying to do it, amen. Trying to coax him. That's all right, amen. Oh, that's perfect, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for trying there, amen. You know, those first steps, amen, those first steps. You remember, you were doing something in the house, and then all of a sudden, they let go of the ottoman, And they... Yeah, Brother Merrill says, I still do that. Hey, listen, those baby steps are cute, and praise God, if you remember the days of the video recorders that were as big as your arm, amen, and now we have smartphones and we can catch everything, those baby steps are awesome. They're cute, amen. But eventually, they're supposed to become more of a walk. Now listen, we know in this sin-cursed world, there are occasionally those precious ones. We have two in our midst tonight. I think of Tommy and Mindy who don't take steps. They don't take steps, amen. They're precious, amen. But the natural progression and process is that step should become walk. Amen? Think about it. Step should become walk. There's a maturing process that takes place where thank God that at 40, almost 45 years old, that I'm not... No, I should be able to do this at 45. And it's the same way what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is our Christian walk. There are some of us that have been saved for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years and we're still doing this. And we ought to be doing this. Amen? We ought to be, and it's right here, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 5, notice with me the demand in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. There's a demand that we see right away. It says there, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers," this group of believers was in need of people to be able to teach the Word of God. And this group of Jewish believers, they needed people to teach. And listen, this was particularly special because these people knew the Word of God. Never forget that by the Jews came the Word of God. And never forget that our God is the one who inspired and preserved it, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all liars. Thank God that we have a God that's bigger than man and is not constrained by the character flaws of man. The Bible says, we mentioned it this morning, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about how the prophecy came not of an old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God told those men exactly what He wanted written, and that's where we have in the Word of God. So there was a demand. There was teachers. They were in short supply. But then there was also, in verse 12, a delinquency. Not only was there a demand, but a delinquency. What was the delinquency in verse 12? It says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of" what? Milk. Milk. Hey, listen to me. I love milk. Nothing better than cookies and milk. Ice cold. Red Cap. You can take your blue and pink and plaid caps, okay? I want it thick. My wife had her way, we'd have heavy whipping cream with milk. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing like milk. Milk's a blessing. But you need meat. You try and give a T-bone steak to a baby, and it's not going to work out well. Now, I know Landon would probably give it his best shot. Amen. But he needs milk. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Hey, listen, when we first get saved, we need the milk of the Word. But after years of being saved, we're not to be sucking on the bottle anymore. We ought to have the knife and the fork, spiritually, and get into that strong meat that we're talking about here. So there's a demand. Secondly, there's a delinquency. By way of introduction, thirdly, there's some distinctions in verse number 13 and 14. It says, "For everyone that useth milk is" what? "Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason have exercised their senses, or have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what are the distinctions here? We have milk equals a babe, which equals unskillful in the word. That's one group. We have people that have been saved for years and they're still on the milk of the simple things. And I'm not discounting the simple things, ladies and gentlemen. We don't push away the simple things, but we build upon them. We don't lay that foundation again and again and again and again. These are the people I mentioned. They get saved every revival meeting. There ought to come a point where you just get that settled. Amen. There ought to come a point where you're not getting baptized 18 times. You got baptized, you followed the Lord, you believed the book, and that's it. Moving on. Amen. So we have here the milk, the babe, the unskillful in the word. And then we have, so important in this verse 14, the meat, the full age, and them that are exercised in the word. That is so important. The difference between knowledge and wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, is the application of knowledge. It's applied. Listen, there are people that know something about everything. There are people that know the Bible. I mean, really know the Bible. Cross my eyes when I listen to them. They know so much about the Bible. But they don't exercise themselves in the simple things of God. They don't exercise themselves in faith in God to pray. They don't exercise themselves in witnessing as God has commanded us. And they wonder why they don't go any further. I'll tell you why. Because God is not going to grant wisdom to the disobedient. Wisdom belongs to those who are exercised in what they know. People talk about the deep will of God. Hey, let's start with the revealed will of God. Amen? Hey, what's the revealed will of God? Pray without ceasing. That's the will of God. Hey, what's the revealed will of God? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I think it's the will of God that we would witness. I believe it's the will of God that we'd be thankful. It talks about there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And so, talking about here these distinctions, we have meat and milk. We have the babe and we have the full age. We have unskillful in the word and the one that is exercised in the word. So we have the demand, we have the delinquency, we have the distinction. In chapter 6, verse 1, look there, we have the direction. What is the direction that God gives us? And I preached on this a little bit, so I'll not linger long here, but it says there, therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? Because of those distinctions, because there were some that should have been teaching, but they were still babes after all these years, he says this, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God or the doctrine of baptism. Those of you that know this passage, it's quote unquote controversial. It's not controversial if you interpret it correctly. He's saying here, look, these things, repentance, faith toward God, doctrines of baptism, laying out of hands, resurrection. He said, we're not saying just to throw those away. We're saying to build upon them and go on. Stop. Well, I don't know. Is Jesus really the Savior? Is He? Well, I think He's resurrected. No, He is resurrected. Amen. He is resurrected. He's alive, and I'm going to walk for Him. I'm going to live for Him. He's saying there, the direction is, let us go on. Stop, again, mentioned, stop getting saved every couple of years. Settle Bible truths in your heart and start growing in the faith. Walk. Move from baby step to adult walk. I told a fib this morning. I didn't mean to. I don't have 17 points. I have 18 points. I'm sorry. Okay, but we're going to go in order and we're going to go quick. Okay, we're going to look at the Pauline teaching of our walk as believers. That's how we live our lives. Okay, so Romans chapter 4, and we're just going to be heading right turns. Okay, so Romans 4 is the furthest one back that we're looking at. Romans chapter 4. And I'm just going to go through these quick. And you take notes. You can maybe mark the verses, look them up on your own. Wonderful verses. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 12, please. It tells us, the New Testament tells us about our walk. And our walk is how we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how we conduct ourselves. A great word in the New Testament is our conversation. Our manner of life. Romans chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And the father of circumcision of them who are not of the circumcision only," talking about Abraham here, "who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." And then if you go down to verse 19, it talks about his faith. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." You remember the promise this was talking about here, that Abraham's faith. "And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." I love this phrase in verse 21. "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." So how are we supposed to walk? We're supposed to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. You say, what is that? We're supposed to walk having faith in God, believing he can do the impossible. He can do... Listen, our God is the one who flung everything into existence by his word. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. No situation. No hard heart is too hard for God. You know what? That's how God wants us to walk. From baby step of, well, I don't know if God... No. Walk in the faith like Abraham, who was 100 years old and said, if God wants us to have a baby, we're going to have one. And they did. Okay, secondly, number two. So, walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Chapter 6, verse 4. Just probably a page over here. Just a page over. Love this one. Chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should" what? Walk in what? Newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Secondly, so walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Secondly, walk in newness of life. Hey, I remember what it was to get saved, 23 years old. Didn't grow up in church. I'm so, I don't know what the word is. I want to say envious, but that's the wrong word. I'm blessed that my kids grow up in church. I'm blessed by that. I didn't. I know others of you are here that didn't go to church. And really, the first time I went to a gospel preaching church, I was 23 years old. And I remember coming in and having all the baggage with me and all the sin and all the wickedness and then getting saved. And praise God, that's who can get saved, the people that recognize they need to be saved. And I remember getting saved and I talked about it this morning a little bit in the message, how the Lord moved in my heart, tell me I didn't belong at a certain place. And I remember that verse that so stuck out to me. My pastor preached a message called Under New Management. He preached a message called Under New Management. He said, just imagine, you know, if you went to a, you were living at an apartment and they had a sign up that said Under New Management. And they said, you know what, the rent's gone down and the service has gone up and all that. And then the old landlord came and tried to collect your rent. He said, what would you do? And I was thinking at the time I was newly saved. I said, I'd sock that guy right in the mouth. Amen. That's what I do. Amen. And he said, well, you certainly wouldn't pay him rent. And then he said this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. You know, God wants us to walk in that newness of life. Think about how pure things are for babies. That's how God wants us to walk, in newness of life, in the steps of Abraham. I've got to move here. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now, that's a great verse, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. So what do we see here about our walk? We're not only to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham and newness of life, we're not to walk after the flesh. Not to walk after the flesh. You know, your flesh didn't die when you got saved. If you don't know that, I need to educate you. You put a mirror under your nose and see if it fogs. Amen. If it fogs, you still have flesh. And that flesh still wants to do whatever it wants to do. And 100% of the time, it's contrary to the dictates of this book. You know what we're supposed to do? Not walk in the flesh. Not. It's the great Yogi Berra line. Is when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's what Yogi said. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Now, that, of course, if you're thinking that doesn't make any sense, it doesn't make any sense. You have to choose whether you're going to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. You have to choose. God still made us free moral agents to choose. And He tells us, don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the things. Don't walk after the flesh. Pleasing of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That's why we believe in self-denial and fasting and all these things that are lined up in the Word of God, that we wouldn't walk in the flesh, that our flesh wouldn't rule us, but our Spirit would rule our flesh. Number 4, Romans 13. See that? 4 points, only 14 more to go. Hallelujah. And it's only, what is it, 8 o'clock back there? I can't tell. I don't have my glasses on. What's that calendar say? I'm going to preach right into November. Hallelujah. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk how? Honestly. If you read 1 Thessalonians 4:12, it says, let us walk honestly toward them that are without. We ought to walk honestly before all men, but it ought to be our honesty that reaches lost people. I think of those of you that own businesses, and I thank God for our business owners here. Just walking honestly, saying, you know what, we did this work, or here's the estimate. We don't want to just go ahead and blow through the work and then send you the bill. Here's the estimate, and it's a little bit higher than we... Or sometimes a business owner will say, you know what, we made a mistake, and therefore we're going to make it right. Well, I'll tell you, that'll do something for a lost person. And you could say, give the glory to God. Say, you know what, I'm a Christian, and one day I'm going to give an account to God for how I did this job. We're to walk honestly, ladies and gentlemen, to be honest. How about the next one, Romans 14, verse 15. Romans 14:15. This whole chapter, I wish in this political season, I wish people would read Romans 13, and especially Romans 14. Romans 14 deals with weaker brethren. It deals with people that don't dot their I's and cross their T's just like we think they ought to. Amen. And it tells us how to act towards them. It's amazing that I've seen it in this election cycle, that whether or not you're voting for Donald Trump or a third party candidate is dividing Christians. Now that's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong! Donald Trump's going the way of the world, and so is the third party candidate, but our faith will continue on. Romans 14 has a lot to say about how we're to act. And it tells us in Romans 14:15 how to walk. After it says in verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. After it says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Then he says this, verse 14, for I know, here's Paul, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Talking about meat here offered to idols. Paul says, look, it's just meat. It's still just meat. But then he says, But to him that esteemeth anything unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved by with thy meat, now, what's the next word, church? Walkest thou not charitably? Destroy him, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So how are we to walk? We're to walk charitably. We're to walk considerately of our brother. Now that's not to say we walk on eggshells about brother offended all the time. Hmm? Brother offended all the time needs to read Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're talking about a weaker brother that struggles with things. He struggles with this meat. You know how we're to walk toward him? Charitably. He's our brother. He's our brother. We're to walk considerately. And he says there, hey, look, if meat offends my brother, I'll eat no meat while I live. I don't want to be an offense or a stumbling block to my brother. Oh, that we would all walk that way. If you're my brother in Christ, I love you. And listen to me honestly, within the bounds of the Bible, I don't care who you're voting for. I really don't. I love you. I love you in the Lord. And God is bigger than the candidates and all that. I didn't mean to get all political. That's next Sunday. Hallelujah. Number six. Go to 2 Corinthians. Number six. Look at that. One third of the way done already. Hallelujah. This is what we call a topical Bible study on the topic of walking. Moving from baby step to walk. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 4, 2. Verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, according to this verse, we ought to walk openly. Our life ought to be an open book. Our life ought to be... I think about just a preacher friend of mine that has had some things happen in his life, and the police were involved. He didn't do anything wrong, but the police were involved, and they asked him for his computer, and they asked him for his phone, and he said, sure, of course you can have them. You can look up anything you want. And what he was saying is, my life's an open book. You know, Christians, that's the way we ought to be. We ought not to be two different people. We ought not to be that acting mask, that word hypocrisy. It means to play act. No, we ought to just walk openly. Very complimented when someone says, you know, I appreciate you're the same at church as you are at the soccer field or whatever. That's a blessing when somebody says that to you. We ought to walk openly. I'm going to give you another one here. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, just probably a page over. Look at verse 7. Oh, we know this one. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by... We're supposed to walk by faith. Don't walk by sight. It'll deceive you. It'll take you down some dead ends. We walk by faith. Why? Because our God rules the universe. Not only did He create all things, but according to Colossians 1:17, by Him all things consist. You know what that means? That right now, the truth is, your body should drop. This world should not be spinning as fast. We should be flying off into eternity. But God has it all taken. The ocean should be overwhelming the shores. But God controls them, sets the bounds. By Him all things consist. So you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We can trust Him. And think about this. If we can trust Him with our soul, our never-dying soul, we should be able to trust Him with our lives. Amen? Walk by faith. Let me give you another one here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We hit this one just a little bit before, but this one really, this passage really lines it out good. Galatians chapter 5. Well, here's another political verse. Verse 15. Verse 14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Amen. Jesus said that was the second great commandment. But verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." It's a great verse. Then it says this, "This I say then," next word, church, "walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And again, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights in the book of Ephesians. We're just getting ready. We've given praise to God the Father in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. We're giving praise to God the Son here in verses 7 through 12. And then 13 and 14, we give praise to the Holy Spirit there. And it tells us that, listen, when you get saved, when you trust Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You have as much of Him as you're ever going to have. But when we're filled with the Spirit, He has more of us. Less of self, more of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Next, I think that's 8. Amen. That's 8. All right. Here's number 9. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse number... look at verse 14. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." So what is this telling us, Pastor, how to walk? I believe it's telling us to walk in Christ and not be culturally bound. That, remember, Galatians is all about the Judaizers adding to the gospel. Saying, well, if you're not circumcised, then you're not really part of the people of God. People have taken this thought and ran with it. By the way, I'm so glad that we are open to anybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight here. That's the way God would have us to walk. Listen, if my brother that has pale skin needs help, I want to help him. If my brother that has dark skin needs help, I want to help him. I don't want to be culturally... If I have a brother that is a Jew, I want to help him. If I have a brother that's a Gentile, I want to help him. Not being culturally bound. Walking in Christ toward all men. Toward all of the household of faith. Number 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We know this is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. But especially verse 8 and 9, two of the... Those, if you've done memory work and reaching people for Christ, there'll be two of the verses that you memorize. Amen. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then verse 10 brings it all to a head. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So what should we walk in, Pastor? Good works. Our lives should be known by good works. Now, I don't mean we walk and do good works and say, "Look at me! Look at me!" No, not at all. God's the one who said, look, we're His workmanship. We're created unto good works. He wants us to walk in good works. You know, passing out a gospel tract? Good work. Yep. Yeah. Amen. Cleaning the church? Good work. Amen. Pulling up the hedges, doing something on the property? Good work. Discipling somebody? Good work. Sitting having coffee with a new believer? Good work. And I could go on and on and on. Listen, God wants us to walk in good works. Wants us to be known in our walk. You know why some people never walk in good works? Because they're too busy doing this. They never move past step. God wants us to walk in good works. Amen? That's number 10. Number 11, Ephesians 4:1. It's also in Colossians 1:10 and 1 Thessalonians 2:12 has a similar phrase. Ephesians 4, it's the hinge of Ephesians. We move from doctrine to duty. In Ephesians 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk what? Worthy of the vocation. Let's never forget. We're to walk worthy. Number 11 is walk worthy. Never forget that when you trust Christ, you become a Christian. You know, the term born-again Christian is actually a redundant term. All true Christians are born again. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Christian, Christ-like, little Christ, that's a worthy name. You know what God wants us to walk in our lives? He wants us to walk worthy of that name. I think about when Christians fall. Many times Christians don't fall off the cliff into sin. They slide down over time. Why is that? Because at some point we forgot about that worthy name by which we are called. I tell my boys, don't shame your name. Don't shame your name. Your last name is Zavodsky. Don't shame your mama who raised you. I was looking this week. I have in my, and I thank God for finding it. I knew it was in my office somewhere, but there are parts of my office that are very dark places. Amen. There's stuff that's there, and I'm like, did I really put that there 5 years ago? And I found a book, a manuscript that my aunt, my father's sister had translated. She's not an aunt, Brother Merrill. She doesn't have six legs. She's my aunt. Okay. Remember what I said about Romans 14? Right there. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it was translated, and it's called My Life, Hard Times and Struggle by Alexander Zavodsky. It was my grandfather's manuscript of his life. He's got 32 medals from being with the Free Poles in World War II. Fought at the Battle of Monte Cassino. I want to tell my boys, don't dishonor that name. I want to tell myself, don't dishonor that name. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Let's walk worthy of the name Christian. Folks should know at work that we're Christians. They should know. They should know because they're going to hell, and you can tell them how to go to heaven. But also by our life, in the way we live, we should walk worthy. Number 12, Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, next word, church, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So what does he talk here? He says for us to walk not as the wicked. Walk not as the wicked do. You know, this is a verse, this package of verses right here. There's a reason Paul said that to the believers at Ephesus. And those of you that have been saved a little while, you'll probably get this. And those of you that haven't, just mind me for just a minute. And that is simply this. The Christian is capable of committing any sin that the lost man can commit. And so the Holy Spirit instructs Paul to tell us not to walk as other Gentiles. Listen, Ephesus was a cosmopolitan city. These people had gotten saved out of wicked life. You remember the goddess Diana and the worship of her and all that was going on all around them. And so Paul said, look, don't walk as the wicked Gentiles walk. Don't do it. And it goes to walking in the Spirit, walking worthy, all these things. Amen. Walk not as the wicked. Oh, Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2, number 13. We're on 13 already? Man, wow. It's only 7:13. Amen. We got here these last five and we'll get them to you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love." Walk in love. Listen, walk in love. Walk in love to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Walk in love to each other. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." Walk in love toward the lost. Jesus Christ so loved the world. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Walk in love. Ephesians 5:8, number 14. We're moving now. Ephesians 5:8. I love this verse. It's highlighted in my Bible and underlined and circled. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." I can relate to that. How many of you got saved a little later in life? Raise your hand. We can relate, can't we? "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Next words, church. "Walk as children of light." Don't walk as children of darkness. You can walk as children of darkness. You're not a child of darkness if you've been saved. You're a child of light. He tells us there, walk as children of light. Go down to Ephesians 5, 15. Ephesians 5, 15. Number 15. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye" what? "Walk circumspectly." Walk circumspectly. "Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What does circumspectly mean? It means to walk carefully. It means to walk carefully. Years ago, I heard a preacher named Chuck Coffey. Brother Coffey was a special forces trainer in Vietnam. He was part of the special forces, but he trained the special forces. And he talked that one of the things that they taught their men was how to walk, literally, how to walk carefully. It's funny, when I'm at the house and I'm downstairs, I can hear my kids. Thump, 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 thump. And then I usually hear my wife. Thump, 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 thump. Amen. But my wife will tell you, there are times when you can hear me and there are times you can't hear me walk. I'll just real quiet, casual. Chuck Coffey told a story about how these men were walking on a path. And it was a well-worn path and it went around the corner. And there was a small path that was a little bit less, it was rougher, and it went down, and they stopped. And Chuck Coffey said, "We're taking that small path right there." And the one man said, "Well, I just want to check it out." And when he did, a bullet came and hit him in the helmet. It was an AK-47, they're spinners. And it spun, and it went around his helmet and went out where it came. And literally, the man was living, but he could literally lift up his scalp. And it was because he was not walking circumspectly. Hey, listen, as Christians, God tells us to walk carefully. Careful. We're to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. We're to walk circumspectly, carefully. Amen. Number 16. Colossians chapter 2 was part of the text we read. Verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. Almost done. Almost done. Colossians chapter 2. It says, as verse number 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith." You know how He wants us to walk? He tells us there He wants us to walk in Him. But all that it says there, rooted, established, it says this, He wants us to walk maturely. Not, but You understand? You understand? Amen. We're to walk maturely. We're to root ourselves and ground ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to walk in Him. Walk as He would walk. Two more. Colossians 4:5. We mentioned this one a little bit before in gratitude and in honesty. But Colossians 4:5 says, it tells us, walk in wisdom toward them that are what? Without redeeming the time. We're to walk in wisdom toward the lost. We're to walk in wisdom toward the lost. Considering the lost, considering their end, being wise as we walk toward them. You know, many a person has gone to hell because of the poor testimony of a Christian. Many a man is in hell today, and at the great white throne judgment, they will rail accusations at their Christian neighbors for not walking in wisdom toward them that are without. Lastly tonight, number 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me just go over them all again. I know some of you take notes. We're to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, walk in the newness of life, walk not after the flesh, walk honestly, walk charitably, walk openly, walk by faith, walk in the Spirit, walk in Christ, not culturally bound, walk in good works, walk worthy, walk not as the wicked, walk in love, walk as children of light, walk circumspectly, walk in Him, walk in wisdom. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You know, the number 18 is, how does God want us to walk according to 1 Thessalonians 1? He wants us to walk increasingly. More and more. More and more. More and more walk in the Spirit. Amen? More and more walk worthy. More and more walk honestly. More and more walk charitably. More and more walk in good works. More and more. And on we could go. I'm reading a book right now by Vance Havner. It was one of the last ones he published before his death. It's called Lord of What's Left, and it's a tremendous book. He said this in regards to this idea of walking. He said, the Christian life has long stretches of hard work, and sometimes it seems drudgery when the initial glow fades and the slow grind tries the soul. Some faithful plodders irritate these excitable souls who start out with a bang and soon end in a bog. Such exhortations as, let us go on, as we read in Hebrews 6:1, and let us run the race, are for these great beginners who never finish what they begin. Vance Havner at the end of his life said this, my admiration is reserved for those steady saints who may not shout during the revival, but who keep walking the old straight and narrow long after those who followed the step with a stop have fallen by the way. An occasional reaffirmation of our faith and dedication is a good thing to bring us up to date, but it is no substitute for patient continuance. You know, God just wants us to keep walking. Not the baby steps. Not the baby steps. And there, listen, there are times in your life that'll happen. That song always blesses me. You can sing that anytime you want, Miss Judy and Miss Kim, Miss Kelly. That song always blesses me. There are times that try our souls. Where I think about our senior saints. You used to walk like this. And now you're walking like this. But you're still walking. Huh? You're still walking. You're still... My pastor came to me and I heard him say this from the pulpit. after his son died, 3-4 months, I can't remember the time frame. You know, there are times in life where it blurs. And he came to me, and I was his assistant pastor at the time and was doing pulpit work and filling in. And I remember he said to me, "Here's my pastor, the one who was preaching the day I got saved, my hero in the faith." Still is, by the way. Still is. He said to me, "Richard," him and his wife are the only ones that call me Richard. My mother doesn't call me Richard. He said, "Richard, I read my Bible and I get nothing." Nothing. Now here's the pastor who's still preaching, still preparing messages. Thank God for a reserve. Thank God for a store that God gives us. Thank God for messages we can pull out and repeat. And God blesses them. But he said, "Richard, I read my Bible and I get nothing." And I thank God for the wisdom that God gave me. Pastor Mark, I just said this to him. I said, "Keep reading.
Yeah.
Just keep reading it." Here's, if you're in a dark tunnel and you can see a speck of light at the end of the tunnel. Now, first of all, be careful because it might be a train coming right at you. But it's probably not. You see that speck of light. If you keep walking toward that light, it gets bigger. Does it not? It gets bigger. If you keep walking, you may be walking slow, not walking as fast as you'd like, walking with tears streaming down your face, but you're still walking, that light's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm here to tell you today, I didn't call him today. We normally talk to each other at least once a week. I bet he had 700 in church today. If I know him, they probably baptized 10 people. Saw 20 people saved. They have visitors every week in their church. They have a church that's two-thirds the size of this auditorium and have 700 on a Sunday morning. Say, how do they do it? Quickly. Move people in and out. Amen. They have several services on a Sunday morning. You know what? Walk. Time. Listen, it's time to stop with the baby steps. Huh? It's time to stop with the baby steps. It's time to just plod along, keep walking with God. One day, praise God, we're going to walk and we're going to go beyond the sunset. Hallelujah. And we'll give an account for our walk. Let's walk. Let's walk as children of light. Let's walk worthy. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's move from step to walk. Father, thank you for the kind attention to these precious people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to move from step to walk. Sometimes I think of that verse where it says, "The sin which doth so easily beset us." There's a particular area of our life that we're still stuck in baby steps. I pray that you'd please bless now. Thank you for our precious people. Lord, please help us to walk with you. Help us to walk pleasing to you. Help us to move from step to walk tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor Mark is playing a hymn of invitation.